To him who loved us and washed us in his blood and has made us kings and priests before his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Our text, which we will be considering on this, the first Sunday after Christmas, comes to us from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 through 9. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they have all grown old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. In the name of Christ, who comforts us, saying, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Dear fellow redeemed, if you've had the opportunity to sneak a peek at today's sermon theme in your bulletin, you've probably surmised that today we're going to be talking about resolutions, since it is the last Sunday before New Year's. How are your resolutions coming? Now, I'm not talking about your 2020 resolutions. Rather, I'm talking about your previous resolutions, your 2019 ones. Now, 12 months can seem like an eternity in today's fast-paced, single-serve society. But in order to make commitments that will hopefully lead to a brighter, happier 2020, we must first address the problems of 2019. Whether your New Year's resolutions have to do with physical, mental, or spiritual health, whether they have to do with money, whether they have to do with being an all-around better person, chances are good that many of your New Year's resolutions for this year are the same as the ones from last year, and perhaps even the year after that, or the year before that, and the year before that. This is because, if we're being honest with ourselves, we as human beings are just not very good at being committed, are we? We lack resolve. For example, anyone who's ever had a sink full of dirty dishes, or a student that has had an end of semester project, or if you've had to schedule a doctor's appointment, you can probably recall thinking, "I'll get to that tomorrow." And tomorrow becomes next week, becomes next month, becomes next year, and you can see how easy it is for 2019 resolutions to become 2020 resolutions. But there is one who possessed the resolve that we lack, one who made promises not for his own benefit or betterment, but for ours. And so our theme today is Christ's resolutions are your solutions. He resolved to keep his Father's law. He resolved to pay his world's debt. And he resolved to end his people's weariness. We ask the Spirit to bless our study. Now, it's interesting to consider how closely related the word resolution and the word solution are, isn't it? Besides the fact that they are both spelled very similarly, they both assume something. They assume that there is a problem. Chances are that if a solution or a resolution are called for, something has gone awry along the way. And as any good problem solver can tell you, there are three steps to go about establishing or reestablishing harmony in a trouble-ridden situation. The first step, address the problem. A parent asks their child, "What's the problem?" A doctor asks his patient or her patient, "Where does it hurt?" Find out where things went wrong. So what's the matter? What's your problem? Let's address the issue. Is your health suffering lately? Maybe you are gaining weight because of stress. Maybe a important relationship is suffering because of bitterness or resentment. Maybe your faith is suffering because you can't or don't want to find the time to open your Bible and spend time in God's Word. After all, we're all pretty busy people, and faith is really for the retirees, right? Well, first of all, wrong. Secondly, we may be uncovering a lot of problems that plague us, like stress, bitterness, poor prioritizing. We're kind of dancing around the real issue, aren't we? A persistent cough is a problem. Shortness of breath is a problem. Fatigue is a problem. And chest pain is also a problem. And by themselves, they may not seem like much, but if you put all of those things together in a Google search, you will find that these are all symptoms of a much larger problem, lung cancer. So it is with stress, bitterness, bad prioritizing, and you can go ahead and personalize this list for yourself as I could for myself, adding in our own individual problems, jealousy, greed, lust, anger, drunkenness. All of these things are problems, but they are not the problem, just symptoms. So where did we go wrong? Let's take it back to Genesis. God created mankind in his own image from the dust of the earth. He formed woman from the rib of Adam, and together Adam and Eve were perfect, righteous in the eyes of the Lord. They lived in the Garden of Eden in a peace, joy, and harmony that we today can't even comprehend. But all that changed when the serpent tempted them to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They ate of the fruit that God had said would kill them so that they could become like God, as the serpent had promised. Enter sin. God's perfect creation had stained itself, tarnished and defiled its righteousness by disobeying God. And now that smear of sin has passed to every human. Because we are all descended from Adam and Eve, that stain of sin infects each one of us. Psalm 51:5 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." So that's where it all went wrong. If you're looking for a problem to address this New Year's, you will likely find that its root can be traced back to the cancer of sin. Now, you can try and treat the symptoms, but if that is your only solution, you may as well be putting fungus cream on a tumor. And it will kill you in the end, spiritually, eternally. Romans 6 tells us that the wages of sin is death, and Galatians 2 clarifies this, that a man is not justified by the works of the law. There aren't enough good deeds in the entire world to cover up that one time that you said something that you wish you hadn't, or to wipe away that one time you took something that didn't belong to you, or when you did that thing that you pray that no one ever finds out about, because the shame alone would kill you. Thankfully, we have someone who has not failed as we continually do, whose birth we just celebrated a few days ago, being born God and man. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was not stained with that original sin that we have. He was promised by Isaiah, who in our text speaks in the first person as Christ when he writes, "The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away." He listened to his Father perfectly, so he did not have so much as one unclean thought. Jesus was placed under the law and upheld that law because he had resolved to keep his Father's law. This resolution is evident when God first made the promise in the Garden of Eden. No sooner had he spoken the consequence of sin than he follows up with the blessed promise of a Savior from sin who would crush the serpent's head for our sake. This resolve continually pops up throughout the Bible as God brings to the mind of his people the promises that he has made them of salvation and a redeemer. And so step one of the problem solver's plan has been completed, and step two is already well underway, making a plan. And that plan was to succeed where all others had failed. Christ resolved to pay his world's debt. Perhaps nowhere else is this resolve seen more clearly than in our gospel reading for today from the Gospel of Luke, as Jesus was on the last leg of his ministry, headed towards Jerusalem to die that death on the cross. We read that he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And this is practically an echo for our text that we read for our sermon, "I have set my face like a flint." We still today describe especially resolved and determined people as stone-faced. And he would have to be determined indeed to make payment for the sins of the world. It can be easy to look at the cute little baby in the nativity set and forget why it is every December that we gather together and celebrate Jesus' birth. It's because Jesus was born to die for us. He would take that perfect, sinless record and endure torment and humiliation. Verse 6 of our text, "I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting." Again, this is practically quoted in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, where we read when Jesus was on trial before the Jews, they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Then some began to spit on him, and to blindfold him, and to beat him, and to say to him, "Prophesy." And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. Step 3 of the problem solver's plan. Put your plan into action. And Jesus did just that. All of the blueprints of the Old Testament came together so that the sinless Lamb of God was in the perfect position to die on the cross for our sins and to pay for our iniquities. And he did not disappoint. From cradle to cross, everything was carried out with sterling resolve so that when Christ cried out from the cross, "It is finished," you and I can believe that. That is a check of complete righteousness with your specific name on it that you can take straight to the bank. Amidst all the problems of grief and shame and sin that we face on a daily basis, we have this wonderful comfort that our debt is paid, that our sins are no more, separated us, as the psalmist says, as far as the east is from the west, because Christ has resolved to end his people's weariness. Now, one big reason for New Year's resolutions is that it focuses us forward, right? Beginnings are fresh and exciting and hopeful. Endings are typically disappointing and sad. And as we look on last year and see all of the things that didn't get done, the broken resolutions, relatives passed away, friendships broken, it's enough to make one weary. So, so tired of failures and tears. If that's you, I've got good news. Rather, not me, but Christ has good news. For he says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary." If you're tired, you feel like you can't go on like this, you can't do one more year, Christ says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you're feeling lonely or abandoned, Christ says to you, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." If you feel like there is no peace to be had and the world is crumbling down around you, your Savior says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." If you feel that Jesus could not have been talking about a sinner such as you, when he promises grace and forgiveness, he says, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And so you see, resolutions are important, but I don't mean your resolutions. This coming new year, we will all undoubtedly endeavor to better ourselves in one way or another, but our sinful flesh will continually be undermining and derailing our best efforts. And no matter how determined we may be, we will fail more often than not. But thanks be to Christ, whose resolutions are your solution to the greatest problem of sin. Because Jesus resolved to keep his Father's law, that righteous obedience becomes ours by faith, so that God no longer sees sinful rebels, but children and heirs of eternal life. Christ resolved to pay his world's debt, even though he was the one who created the world in the first place. The almighty power of God took on frail human form so that the plan to end his people's weariness could be accomplished. And so it was, so that you and I are a new creation in him, no longer slaves to the law, but slaves to righteousness, which we have by faith. As Horatius Bonar wrote in the well-beloved hymn, "I heard the voice of Jesus say, 'Come unto me and rest. Lay down, O weary one, lay down your head upon my breast.' I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad." Amen. Please rise. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.